Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, and happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for November the 15th. In the year of our Lord, 2021, this is our two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. That's who we are. That's what we do. Welcome to the broadcast. We're live 6 days a week on the Sabbath. We rest 2 hours a day of hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. Headlines galore. Last hour, we had an incredible conversation with Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, about callforcivility.com, the new website we put together, showing a contrast between the ever-increasing divisions in America and our goal to heal the nation. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Rules of civility, ladies and gentlemen, George Washington, and now our call for civility. Same line of thinking from the great general and from the folks at Liberty Roundtable Live. How do you like them apples as we look back to the founding fathers and the deals that they put together, the concerns they worried about, the papers, anti-Federalist and the Federalist Papers, articulating their debates, their concerns, their free exchange of ideas, just as we should have in America today. We got to be very careful with how we go about the solutions, ladies and gentlemen. There's a right way and a wrong way to go about it. But the CDC director, Walensky, has been telling us since August, the vaccines simply do not. The shot does not prevent infection from the virus, and it doesn't prevent the spread. The CDC also admitting that natural immunity, there's no record of anybody with natural immunity transmitting the COVID to others. They're not being candid, open, truthful, or honest about what we're dealing with, ladies and gentlemen, at all, and they need to be. All right, that's enough of that. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're doing fantastic. We got a bunch of news stories to talk about this hour. I'm all by myself. I don't have a guest or anything else. I've just got a bunch of news for you. You know, do you guys like it when we have a mix of guests and talk? A mix of me telling stories and gathering headlines from the news? Do you like guests? Do you like me gathering the headlines? Do you like a little bit of both? Do you like... Anyway, I'd be interested in your feedback. LibertyRoundtable.com is the website. LibertyRoundtable@gmail.com is the best way to email me. And yes, that email gets directly to me. LibertyRoundtable@gmail.com. I'd love your feedback. I'd love to know what you think. Do you just love it when we have some guests and then some breakdown of the news? Or do you like it when we always have a guest on? If I'm by myself, is it always good to have a co-host? Anyway, your opinion would be very helpful. Is it boring when I just chat for a bit with you? Or is it entertaining? Is it educational? Is it worth your while is really the question. LibertyRoundtable@gmail.com. All right, here's the news. Former Green Beret veteran. Guy's name is Jeremy Brown. And he's a former Green Beret veteran. And he was at the January 6th Capitol event. And now he's a January 6th Capitol prisoner. Well, here's the thing. He did not even go into the Capitol. Ladies and gentlemen, okay, he was there, but he did not go in the Capitol. They arrested him anyway. He says that what happened is the FBI tried to get him to be a provocateur. They tried to get him to be involved, and he refused. And not only that, he spoke out and exposed them. He believes that's why he's a political prisoner right now. Anyway, he announces that he's going on a hunger strike because he believes he's been so wronged. And I have to agree with this. What on earth is a guy doing in prison that never went into the Capitol, never breached the Capitol? He didn't do anything violent. He didn't participate in the government's provocateur agenda, which we've been documenting over the last several days on this program. He blew the whistle on your government. Is that what's going on for Jeremy Brown? Our prayers are with Jeremy. His hunger strike is probably necessary, but oh, what a sad tale it is. You got literally Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, Hunter Biden running around, Bill Clinton running around, violating laws left and right. And then you've got Jeremy Brown in prison. It reminds me of the Ammon Bundy prison scenario. Why on earth was Ammon Bundy in prison? He sat there for 2 years, only at the end for the government to say the FBI was criminal. The FBI withheld evidence. The FBI was out of control. That was one case. So they basically, you know what, shattered the case and said Ammon Bundy guilty of nothing. The government was the one that was out of control here. In the previous case in Oregon, where they tried multiple cases against Ammon Bundy, the jury said, no, this is bogus. The government provocateurs are the ones that are causing problems here. Ammon really did nothing. He wasn't violent. He wasn't a threat to society. And so Ammon suffered for 2 years in prison, multiple cases against him. Every one of the cases pointed to the government being out of control and Ammon Bundy being peaceful and guilty of nothing. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I fear for this Jeremy Brown. Is he in the same scenario? Well, we need to expose the government provocateurs in this. Jeremy Brown needs to come to the table and expose a lot of these people. I'll tell you that right now. Our prayers are with you, Jeremy. I believe you are a political prisoner, and I think it's a shame, shame, shame. Why are the people who we pointed to as already provocateurs on camera, why aren't they facing jail time? Why are they removed from the FBI most wanted list? Why? Because there's an agenda by the government to attack all real conservatives. That's why we need to be very, very careful of what we say and what we do in America these days, ladies and gentlemen. We're getting closer and closer to a tyrannical state, and when that happens, you know what? They're not kind to those of us who speak out nobly, boldly, and independently, are they? They're not kind at all. But we've got to stand up, ladies and gentlemen, and that's why callforcivility.com is so critical. Read the welcome. Read the mission statement. Read and sign the pledge, would you please, today. By the way, Lowell Nelson just signed it. I just got an email. We all got to stand together for a peaceful solution, ladies and gentlemen, and demonstrate who we are. We're God-fearing Americans, ladies and gentlemen. We want peace. We pray for peace. We sue for peace. Right? All right, there you have it. Our prayers are with Jeremy Brown. Number of U.S. workers voluntarily leaving their jobs in September has reached an all-time high. August and September shattering records. Think about that. Number of U.S. workers voluntarily leaving their jobs has reached an all-time high. Woo-wee, that's interesting. Why are they leaving their jobs in droves, ladies and gentlemen? The government wants you to believe it's all kinds of reasons, but not that it's the mandated vaccination issue. They don't want you to believe that's part of it because they don't want that to be a big deal, that a lot of Americans have problems with the vaccines. But we do, and it's obvious, and we know it, and they know it, just because the media is in bed with the mainstream government plans to deceive the people. Well, we won't be deceived, ladies and gentlemen. We know better, right? They can't deceive us, all right? They can't deceive us on this. It's not going their way, and they know it. That's the good news. The best news is we need to push back harder, peacefully, of course, but we need to push back harder indeed, right? That's what we've got to do. We need to push back harder because they don't have authority to do what they're doing, and that's really where the rubber meets the road. Joe Biden does not have authority here. It's really important to understand. And I understand why people are quitting their jobs. A lot of it has to do with this scenario where they're forcing vaccinations, they're forcing masks, they're all kinds of stuff. And the number of U.S. workers voluntarily leaving their jobs is at an all-time high. Part of it has to do with pay. Part of it has to do with not very good working conditions. Part of it has to do with the economic woes that are happening. People are realizing, you know what? We can't sustain this continued, I don't know what word to use here, this continued getting and spending in our lives. Most Americans are saying, look, we're going to be home more often. We don't need as much getting and spending, do we? So there's a lot of reasons people are quitting their jobs, but the government doesn't want to admit the biggest reason, in my opinion, which has to do with these horrible working conditions, with government mandating certain pay and all this kind of stuff. Let's get government out of the free market, ladies and gentlemen. Let government provide a level playing field. That's the government's role. They have a role to play. but then let's have them get out of the middle of the free market. That's really part of the problem. Inflation, really abusing the citizenry. I mean, if you make, you know, $20 an hour, just say, your $20 even a year ago would buy way more than it buys now. You can see it everywhere, and people know it. Lady, you know, so they're simply saying, well, look, we're going to spend as little as possible, and we're going to make as little as possible. I mean, after all, it won't do me any good for the government to tax the wazoo out of it, and it won't do me any good to make money in inflation just by hidden tax, stealing it from me. People intuitively get it, even if they might not be able to articulate it, ladies and gentlemen. Let me say that again, because it's really important. People may intuitively understand something, but they may not be able to explain it to others or articulate it well, right? And so that's the bottom line. There you have it. Why are people voluntarily leaving their jobs? Because we've created a disparity by mandate of government. All this wasn't happening before the COCO, right? Now, because of our actions, we blame it on the COVID virus, but it's really our actions in relation there too. Government gutted the economy. Now government's wondering what to do with the disparity, right? All right, there you have it. When we come back from this break, there's a headline that says, is this the fifth COVID-19 wave? We'll talk about that, ladies and gentlemen. What do you mean the fifth wave? Pretty soon we're going to be on the thousandth wave, right? What wave of the flu are we on, ladies and gentlemen? Just wondering. All right, quick pause, back in seconds. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, telling the tale of liberty every day on your radio except the Sabbath. And then we're praying to Almighty God for strength to do it again. We pray every day for that, but especially on the Sabbath, we take extra time to let our Father in heaven know that we love him, that we're grateful for the gospel of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice of our Savior. We're talking about, is this the fifth COVID-19 wave? Experts fear we may simply come to call it winter. Elizabeth Weiss with the piece, ladies and gentlemen. What are they talking about? Well, they're preparing you that COCO's here to stay. It'll never go away. It'll become like the flu. And every winter it'll come and, you know, kill people and cause problems. And every summer it'll reduce and go away. And it's going to be a cyclical, seasonal reality that's going to be with us forever. They're trying to prepare you for that reality. Now, remember, these are the same dishonest people that told you all you got to do is calm down for 10 to 14 days. Let's flatten the curve there and we'll be okay. Literally almost 2 years later, now they're going, yeah, the cocoa's going to be with us forever. Are we on the fifth wave? What? Yeah, here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. They told you also that, you know what, when we get vaccinated, we'll be good. All we have to have is 50, 60, 70, maybe 80% of the people vaccinated, and we'll nip this thing in the bud and be right back to reality. They lied again. Now they're going to be pushing almost 100% vaccines, and the fact is it won't do any good because it's here to stay. And the virus mutates just like the common cold or the flu. Now, fascinating enough, we compared it to the common cold and the flu before, and they mocked us and said we were ignorant. Now they're using the same terms we are. Interesting, isn't it? Nevertheless, we told you that this was a sham. We told you that vaccinations won't be good enough. We told you this really wouldn't end because they want to use it for their purposes. It's not about the vaccine, folks. It's not really about the cocoa. It's not really about masks. It's about controlling you and their assertion of a godlike, what do you want to call it, lording over your life scenario? You got Austria literally locking people down who are unvaccinated into their homes. And if you go out, the cops are patrolling the streets. And they're going to spot check you and get you and fine you if you don't comply. That's Austria. Australia locking everybody down, getting all out of control too. The United States working on it. California totally out of control. But now they're talking about the fifth wave. And the CDC literally admits, hey, they got all kinds of breakthroughs from the COVID-19 vaccinations where people are getting sick and transmitting the disease. The vaccine does not prevent the transmission of the disease. The vaccine does not prevent infection from the virus. Literally, Walensky, since August, has been saying this. But you know what? Those who are naturally immune, no record of naturally immune people transmitting the disease, but yet, see, they're just going to lock you down. We don't care if you had it or not if you're not vaccinated. COVID-19 case counts, ladies and gentlemen, are up in nearly 30 states, especially in the north. Did you hear me? COVID case counts are up in 30 states, especially in the north. Now, here's what's interesting. Remember they told you the South was evil and, man, they're going to kill everybody because they're not going to lock down everybody. The North is what locked down everybody, right? And now the North is literally having higher cases than everybody. 30 out of 50 states, cases are up. Wait a minute. I thought cases were supposed to go down with the vaccine. But all they say is, well, we don't have enough vaccinated people. But yet it's the people with natural immunity that aren't transmitting the disease. People with the vaccines are. Don't worry, though. When you get the vaccine and then you get the cocoa, how you get the cocoa after the vaccine when it's safe and effective, I don't know. But nevertheless, when you get the vaccine and then you get the cocoa, don't worry. It's not as bad as if you didn't have the vaccine, they say. Yeah, but if you have it and it's real bad and you pull through, then the good news is you're not going to be getting anybody else sick because there's no breakthrough cases with natural immunity, don't you know? See, they're literally manipulating all the results against us. They're dishonest as all get out, but evidence is coming forward telling the tale of truth. I'm a truth teller, so I'm bringing it to you directly on the radio. Experts say the latest surge underscores the virus is here to stay. Told ya. Yeah. Experts say the latest surge underscores the virus is here to stay. Is that what they told you when they said all we got to do is flatten the curve? No, they lied. Okay, I could have told you that the virus was going to be here to stay. That's what viruses do. But you got to really ask yourself an honest question. How did all of a sudden in the world, we go for 6,000 years on the planet, if you believe in the biblical view that the world began with Adam and Eve, right? 6,000 years, or longer if you believe in all the scientific data, millions of years or whatever. How did all of a sudden this deadly virus just come on the scene in our lifetime? Just boom, overnight, it's here. And now we can never go back. Isn't that interesting, too? They say for the first time in 2 months, COVID-19 case counts and deaths are rising again in most U.S. states. especially in the northern tier and in the Rocky Mountains. According to a USA Today analysis of Johns Hopkins University data, they say, does this mean a fifth wave of the COVID pandemic is cresting? With the virus, quote, this new to humanity. See, that's why I kind of brought this up. This is new to humanity. They're admitting to it. All of a sudden, it's like, wow, we got this new thing going on. With a virus this new to humanity, it's impossible to say, said Dr. Susan Klein. She's a professor of infectious diseases at the University of Minnesota Medical School. So she's even admitting even right now, we don't even know. It's just too early to predict this right now, she says. Okay, well then don't act like you know so much then. If a year and a half later it's too early to predict, don't act like you know. Don't force us to take experimental vaccinations when you don't even know. They say this is only the second year we've experienced such a, quote, fall wave, she says. Experts say the surge is being driven by a combination of factors. Okay, so they don't even know, but now they're going to tell you what they think they know. The seasonality of the virus, that's one factor. Okay. Waning immunity and many still unvaccinated Americans. Oh, wait a minute now. How many unvaccinated Americans do we have? That's a good question. Well, they say anywhere from 50 to 70%. It depends on the state and da-da-da-da-da, right? But then I got a question. What percent of Americans have natural immunity? They never tell you that, do they? How come? Because they know if they do, then their whole dishonest scenario will blow up in their face, will go down in flames. They know full well. Because, look, a lot of people have natural immunity now, ladies and gentlemen, a lot. This has been going on for a year and a half plus. And those who have not got the vaccines have natural immunity. But whether you got the vaccines or whether you didn't get the vaccines and you have natural immunity, what's the number of either vaccinated people and people who have natural immunity? Put those together, what's the number? And ladies and gentlemen, if we just be patient, we're going to develop this herd immunity reality check, which is the real key to solutions. It isn't the key to solving the virus because it will always mutate and we'll have another seasonal reality. That's the way of the flu. That's the way of the cold. That's the way of cocoa, right? But you'll get a handle on it to where it's not a big, massive fear. Most people will have immunity. It'll come around. It'll slightly morph. People will get sick, but it won't be the end of the world because their immunities will wane, but they'll be partially part of the solution. In other words, you won't get it as bad, but you'll get it. Your immune system will kind of track the morphing of the disease. That's what happens, right? They'll continue to have vaccinations, and this herd immunity will make it to where it's not the massive death crisis that it once was or was claimed to be. They say it underscores the likelihood that COVID-19 is here to stay. They repeat this over and over. See? They're admitting, they're preparing you. They say this. We saw a very similar trend last year. People are moving indoors now because the weather is getting cold, said Klein. In the week ending Wednesday, case counts were higher in 29 states than they were the week before. Yeah, but we're getting more vaccinated, aren't we? They say a month ago, cases were rising in just 12 states. Hospitalizations, they say, are also up. Now, that's, again, where I'm going to push back hard. I'm going to push back hard on them. Why are hospitalizations way up? Why don't we make it to where people can get oxygen without it being a controlled substance? Why don't we let people have ivermectin and other solutions that are getting people well despite what your government claims that there's no evidence, no facts? Why don't we let the frontline doctors treat people? They say compared to a week earlier, hospitals in 23 states report a rising number of likely COVID-19 patients. Likely means they don't even know, but they suspect it's COVID, see? That's how they lie and play the game. They're making this way worse than it is. And they provide virtually no solutions except get vaccinated or be rejected from society. They're crazy.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Kenosha is ready to move on. Patrick Roberts, the pastor of First Baptist Church, said before his sermon on Sunday, "Everybody has been calm and the community understands that it needs to heal." Closing arguments for the Kyle Rittenhouse trial is expected today before sending it to the jury. The Austrian government has ordered a nationwide lockdown for unvaccinated people that started at midnight Monday. The government orders prohibit unvaccinated people 12 and older from leaving their homes except for basic activities such as working, grocery shopping, or going for a walk, or getting vaccinated. Chancellor Alexander Schallenberg told reporters in Vienna Sunday, quote, "It's our job as the government of Austria to protect the people," end quote. A 10th victim has died from the Astro World tragedy. Ezra Blunt, who lived in Dallas, had been placed in a medically induced coma. Ezra was 9 years old. USA Radio News.
With confusion around vaccinations, masks, and public screenings, it's important to know the symptoms of COVID and its variants. Fever is the leading sign, so make sure you use an accurate thermometer for your family. Only the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate with more than 100 clinical studies. Non-contact thermometers have no clinical evidence behind them and cannot be relied on. Be vigilant and be accurate with Exergen. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
Big news from Simply Safe Home Security. Okay. Actually, I think the horns are too much. Yeah, that's better. Big news, the new wireless outdoor security camera is here. Yes, Simply Safe's award-winning home security just got even better, taking whole home protection to a whole new level. Okay, I'm missing the horns. Simply Safe is celebrating this new camera with 50% off a new system this week. Visit SimplySafe.com.
The inflation hitting American wallets was a key topic over the weekend on most news talk programs. Last week, America suffered its biggest inflation jump in over 30 years.
The Biden administration is acknowledging inflation has become a big economic problem, and the economic advisor Brian Deese was pressed about it on CNN's State of the Union. Whether President Biden's Build Back Better spending plan would actually help ease inflation, as the president's claimed. Deese said there are a number of things the administration can do to combat inflation, but claimed the social spending plan is the ultimate fix. Deese sidestepping the question, though, when asked how long inflation will stay. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen saying she expects that inflation concerns will dissipate by the middle of next year. In the New England Bureau of USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Monday Night Football tonight will feature the Rams at San Francisco on ESPN. This is USA Radio News.
The Coco, ladies and gentlemen, came out in 2020. Why they call it COVID-19 when it's 2020 or 2021, I'm not really sure. But they say this is the fifth COVID-19 wave. And they say COVID's here to stay, ladies and gentlemen. They're telling you about how, even though we got more vaccinations than ever, we're more vaccinated than we've ever been, which they pitched as the grand solution. Now COVID deaths and COVID infection rates are on the rise in 30-plus states. Hospitals in 19 states reported more patients in intensive care units than ever. SARS-CoV-2, they say that's the virus that causes COVID-19. Well, it's just behaving like other viruses, they say, that have circulated the globe for decades. Really? Yeah, we told you that a long time ago. And they said, no, it's not like any other virus on the planet. Nothing's like it. Now they're admitting it's just like the other ones. It's following the same patterns, said Dr. Arnold Manto, a professor of epidemiology at the University of Michigan School of Public Health. They say, you know what? Coronaviruses, four of them cause the common cold and mild to moderate illness in almost everyone who gets them. In March of 2020, this Dr. Manto published a major study looking at when they usually peak. Coincidentally, I say it's not so coincidentally, by the way, but just as the COVID-19 panic was taken off in the U.S., we looked at the data and we said, oh my goodness, look at the seasonality. It's year after year after year, he said. See, they've known this forever, but they just didn't bother to tell you they've known this. It was so dramatic, we couldn't believe it, the doctor continued. These, quote, common cold coronaviruses were sharply seasonal. They would start in November, then almost disappear by May, only to return again next year. Monto is now betting that COVID behaves the same way. Although the, quote, cold-inducing coronaviruses in SARS-CoV-2 are not identical, the fact is the seasonality, it's reasonable that same of the same seasonal fluctuations will be the reality. Wintertime COVID-19 surges, maybe something we'll just have to learn to live with. That's right. That's why the sooner you get natural herd immunity, the better off you are. Because natural immunity lasts longer than vaccine-induced immunity. And natural immunity has no breakthrough cases to get other people sick, ladies and gentlemen. When will we learn? It's not going to go away, said Dr. Timothy Brewer, a professor of medicine and epidemiology at the University of California, Los Angeles. They say waning immunity could be another reason for the rise. Those who either got COVID-19 or those who got vaccinated, they could lose their protection over time. People who had the vaccine, for example, last January and February, well, they're now over 6 months out, Klein said, and their immunity has waned big time, especially for people with weaker immune systems, which include the elderly. They say you got to have brief vaccinations. In other words, you got to vaccinate. They say we're in a race between getting people boosted and waning immunity. Why do we have to be in that rat race? They say, so boosting is hugely important, says this other doctor of San Francisco. Vermont, for example, has one of the highest vaccination rates in the nation, and it's experiencing a surge. If that doesn't tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what will. Think about this statement from your government and your mainstream press. Vermont, for example, has one of the highest vaccinations rate in the nation, but it's experiencing a surge. Uh-huh. What does that mean? You comfortable with that, folks? Vermont has one of the highest vaccination rates in the country, but it's experiencing a surge. What does that mean? Does that build your faith in the vaccines? It doesn't me. It makes me realize what a sham they've pulled on us. They say that's in part because the state began vaccinating its oldest residents first. Yeah, what does that have to do with it? They say, so immunity among the highest risk people in the state is likely waning. So in other words, the vaccinations that we spent so much money on, that we created Operation Warp Speed to run to market, the vaccination that we said was so critical for the safety of people, by golly, we got to experiment on the whole world. Literally 6 months later, they're saying, hey, man, these people don't have immunity, and that's why, even though these people are vaccinated, it's skyrocketing. Yeah, Vermont has one of the highest vaccination rates in the nation, and they're experiencing a surge because the vaccine simply isn't working anymore. They're admitting it. They're calling it waning. But what they're really saying is the vaccine is not working. As one of the oldest states, the percentage of, quote, Vermonters in this situation is higher than in most other parts of the country. Vermont Health Commissioner Dr. Mark Levine said in a news conference on Tuesday, but how long will those, quote, second and third doses last? Think about that question for a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Not only has it only been 6 months and it's already waning to the point where people are getting sick, even though they're the highest vaxxed state in the country, it's surging. But remember, it's only been 6 months and most of these people have had two, now three doses. So three doses in a six-month period, and we're losing the battle. But when I say the vaccine's not safe and effective, they say, you're ignorant, Sam. You don't even know. How long will those second and third doses last, we ask? It's an open question with no data available yet, says your government. What? They say we still have much to learn, Dr. Klein said. We need to see how long the immunity appears to last after this year's round of booster shots. So we're not even going to tell you how long it'll last. We're going to wait till you have three shots in 6 months and it's still going bad, but we can't tell you. We don't know, and we're not going to know for quite some time because we're still learning. They say this, for those relying on natural immunity, the immune response that comes from having COVID-19 also appears to wane over time, but listen carefully, but the exact timing isn't clear. Okay. Wow. Think about that. Think about that for a minute. They don't even know. They don't know, folks. A Danish study, for example, they found that out of nearly 12,000 people that tested positive during the first wave of the COCO, more than 80% were protected in the second surge. But among those 65 and older, protection against repeat infection was only 47%. Now, they don't really go on and tell you about natural immunity versus vaccinated versus non-vac. They don't go into that stuff. But this guy says, I'm less impressed with natural immunity holding the line for a long time, the doctor says. Well, I'm less impressed with the vaccinations holding immunity for a long time, folks. And if I'm going to have natural immunity not hold it very long and vaccinated immunity not holding it very long, why would I try an experimental vaccine? Neither of them are going to protect me for very long. One puts me at great risk because it's experimental and we don't even know the long-term effects. They say danger is greatest for the unvaccinated. Vaccination is critical to making it a disease we can live with. And I say liar. Liar, liar, pants on fire to you. The truth is natural immunity, the one that doesn't have any breakthrough cases of natural immune people getting other people sick, that's what we need to rely on if we want to get over this thing. The sooner we develop natural herd immunity, the better off we are. Because maybe I won't have protection forever, but I won't with a vaccine either. But at least I won't be giving the virus to others. They say rather than a disease that kills, that expert stress. So it'll be something we can live with rather than it being something that kills, right? They say this. Listen carefully to the lie now. Before they said if we were 40%, 50%, whatever, if we had vaccine, if most people were vaccinated, it would be fine. Now they lie and say this. If our population were 100% vaccinated, we'd be having a very different conversation, Rutherford said. Now that's a lie. And let me prove it to you. They say that COVID's here to stay long term. It's seasonal. It's going to come back, come back, come back, come back. They don't know if population was 100% vaccinated, what the case would be. How do I know they don't know? Because we've never had that situation and we never will. They say, but case rates are rising in both states with low-level vaccinations such as Wyoming, 45%, and Idaho, low of 56%, and in states with high levels such as Vermont, 72%, Minnesota, 62%. We're having rising case rates in both. Why?
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
So they give Wyoming and Idaho as super low vaccinated cases, 45, 56% of the populations respectively, and they compare it to Vermont and other states that have literally 70 and 60 plus percent vaccinated. And then they say this, how is that possible that these low vaccinated and high vaccinated states are still having COVID everywhere, increased COVID cases and deaths and everything else? And they say the thing to remember is this. If you have 62% or 72% of your population vaccinated, fully vaccinated, that means you have 38 to 28% that are not. And that's plenty of people to sustain transmission of the virus, Dr. Rutherford said. I'm going to call the doctor out and call him a liar again. You're lying, sir. Let me tell you why. Because if you got 72% vaccinated, a year and a half into the COVID, how many people have got it and have natural immunity now? 10%? 15%? I don't know the number. They never tell you the numbers. That's the point that I'm getting at. But let's say that it's 15%. If it's 15%, now you've got 87% of the people. And the people that are naturally immune are not spreading it even as much as the virus or the vaccinated people are. See, that's why your numbers aren't honest. That's why you're not being genuine, honest, and clear with the American people. You're leaving out significant data points for a true analysis to take place, sir. Rising hospitalization rates also don't tell the full story because the unvaccinated are the most likely to get sick, to be hospitalized, and to die. Again, you lie. You say, wait a minute, Sam, that's an indisputable fact. No, it's not. Let me prove it to you. You ready? You've heard all over the country how if you're not vaccinated, they won't even treat you. Have you heard that? All over the country, they're saying, hey, if you're not vaccinated, we're not going to help you, get an organ transplant. You don't even qualify. We're not letting you do it. Or if you come to the hospital and you're not vaccinated, doctors and physicians are refusing to treat people and everything else. Well, no wonder people are dying. If you get somebody refusing to treat you and you die, is that because you were not vaccinated or is that because somebody would not treat you? See the lie in the number, the lie in the data they're delivering, ladies and gentlemen? They say, for example, in Minnesota, about 2% of people vaccinated against COVID-19 have had a breakthrough infection. Well, why are you using Minnesota? Why don't you tell me what it is nationwide? Why don't you tell me the low and the high like you've done with all the other numbers you're quoting? Because you know, and I know, that the number's way above 2%. And 2%'s way above the death percent rate if you get the COVID, right? So again, they say, but breakthrough infection is not the same thing as, quote, breakthrough disease. What? Breakthrough infection is not the same as breakthrough disease. This is where, again, they twist the reality. Among vaccinated people who have COVID-19, just 0.09% were hospitalized, and less than that died, according to the Minnesota Department of Health. They say the same holds true in California. Your chance of being hospitalized for COVID is about 10 times higher if you're unvaccinated. Yeah, but what would it be if we encourage the use of ivermectin? We encourage the use of vitamin C and vitamin D and zinc and CDB oil and other solutions. What would it be if people could get oxygen at home and not be forced to go to the hospital where other people are sick and where the protocols of care literally promote death? What about that reality check? They say you're 21 times higher to die, Brewer said. Now, again, this is where they lie about the statistics. They make you believe that if you're vaccinated, you're 21 times less likely to die if you go to the hospital than if you're not vaccinated. But remember, that's 21 times higher to die amongst the less than 1% that are likely to die from COVID anyway. So you got 21 times higher in the less than 1% that actually die from COVID anyway. And then you talk about comorbidities and you go, they're playing games with numbers. Less than 1% who get the COVID even die, and then 21 times likely higher if you're not vaccinated, and then, well, we're not going to treat those who are not vaccinated, and you put that all together and you go, the numbers they're manipulating are just out of this world crazy. Not honorable, not transparent, not true. They say, in it for the long haul, this yearly waxing and waning of COVID-19 is likely what the future is going to look like, they say. Fine. So is vaccination the only way forward, or is natural immunity a way forward? See, they're not willing to discuss that. They say in some years, rates will be higher and some rates will be lower. But we're never going to get back to zero cases, Brewer said. I could have told you that. Why, they say? Because new babies are always being born whose immune systems have never been exposed to SARS-CoV-2. And I'm saying, oh, yeah, God forgot to give them immunity, didn't he? Lies. Now we got to start to ask studies about how much nursing makes a difference. Oftentimes, with nursing mothers, you get natural immunity. Can the natural immunity from a mother through mother's milk provide natural immunity to child? The answer in many cases with a lot of things is absolutely yes, a resounding yes. If you talk to lactation professionals and others who know, okay, are they going to address that for me? No, they're just going to say you got to give the kid the vaccine the second he comes out of the birth canal. You got to just double down and vaccinate till the cows come up. See, bogus. They say immunity, either through infection or vaccination, wanes over time. We agree. Finally, glad you admit it. You told me 10 to 14 days would flatten the curve when you knew it was a lie. They say, and as people age, their immune systems become less able to mount a strong response to the virus. That's true. That's natural. You die of something eventually, right? They say with the coronaviruses that cause the common cold, the median time between infection is about 3 years. So now they're saying natural immunity with the cold, you get about 3 years of immunity until it comes back. We need to start thinking about vaccination as a long-term activity, he said. In other words, you're going to get vaccinated over and over and over and over and over because they know they're not safe and they're not effective at all. Why not natural immunity, sir? Some have suggested a, quote, three-dose series of COVID-19 might provide lifetime immunity. But Montos, this doctor, disagrees, and so do I. Instead, it will be more like the flu, he said. Every year, a new updated vaccine will roll out to keep up with the mutating virus. I suggest we're going to get into the same situation, he said, with COVID vaccination. We're going to have to do it yearly or more. Wow. This is the kind of stuff these guys are literally telling you. So let me ask you a question then. If vaccinations might provide lifetime immunity, could natural immunity provide lifetime immunity? Oh, no, we're not going to discuss that, Sam. That's just for wackos. I see. All right, well, the pushback is continuing against the coronavirus. As I mentioned to you last hour with Lowell Nelson, that others are pushing back more and more and more and more. Legislative bodies, state governors, the list goes on and on. Military lawsuits, private and public lawsuits everywhere going on. Now Oklahoma Governor to Biden, quote, no vax mandate for our troops. So that's good news. That's great news, ladies and gentlemen. That's exciting news if you ask me. Wow. I hope more governors stand up. By the way, there's a stunning revelation from Top Doc. Suggests Fauci and Birx should have known their advice was wrong from day one. Yes, Scott Atlas is the doctor. And Doc on Trump's COVID task force says that Fauci and Brooks ignored data that disputed their preferred theories. Yeah, Jack Davis writes the article for the Western Journal. This is important. In a new book, Dr. Scott Atlas speaks out about this, lambastes the National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, where Dr. Fauci works, for refusing to look at all options. In his book, quote, "A Plague Upon Our House," Atlas recounted an incident in which he wrote that he presented compelling data indicating that schools should be open and that children were primarily not in danger, and that children were not major factors in the spread of the virus. Well, he provided hard evidence to this, but Fauci and others acted as if they had never spoken to me about it. Yeah, he acted as if I had never spoken, says Scott Atlas. "As I finished, there was silence," Atlas wrote. "No one offered any contradicting data. Zero conference from Burks, zero response from Fauci, and as always, not a single mention by Fauci or Burks about the serious harms of school closures. In my mind, this is bizarre," the doctor wrote. Atlas wrote that he appeared to be the only one on the team looking at facts before forming theories. Why was I the only one in the room with detailed knowledge of the literature and the facts? Why was I the only one considering all the data on such important topics? Weren't they supposed to be extra medical scientists? Why were they not looking at the data that I was looking at? When a reaction arose, their view was hostile. Has the country lost faith in Dr. Fauci? Absolutely. Now listen to this. Brooks says Atlas was out of the mainstream and part of a fringe group supporting school reopening, Atlas wrote, according to Fox. Meanwhile, she insisted that all experts agreed with her, Atlas wrote. He said, "I shook my head, thinking some of the world-class epidemiologists that sided with Atlas." You're talking about Oxford, Harvard, Stanford epidemiologist professors who agreed with Atlas, not with Birx and Fauci. He said, "I wondered if Fauci and Birx even read a single document written by these professionals." Atlas said he presented detailed data about the spread of the virus through children and the fact that children were unlikely to spread the disease to adults. They were unlikely to even spread it. Wow. The icing on the cake, says Dr. Atlas, was the evidence that almost all coronavirus transmission to children comes from adults, not the other way around, Atlas wrote. Atlas wrote that Robert Redfield had indicated that in his mind, the mountain of data was inconclusive. Anyway, he goes on and on, this doctor, Atlas, in his book, articulating how they're just not willing to look at the facts, the truth, or the science. They lie and say they're following the science, but they're turning a blind eye as they promote an agenda that has no logical explanation in science whatsoever. Pray for peace. Work towards peace. Stand and be counted for the sacred cause of liberty. Please, my fellow Americans. Callforcivility.com is how we can work towards real solutions. God save the Republic of the United States of America.